existentia. Ontologically, existentia is tantamount to being present at hand, a kind of being which is essentially inappropriate to entities of Dasein's character. To avoid getting bewildered, we shall always use the interpretative expression presence at hand for the term existentia, while the term existence, as a designation of being, will be allotted solely to Dasein. The essence of Dasein lies in its existence. Accordingly, those characteristics which can be exhibited in this entity are not properties, present at hand, of some entity which looks so-and-so and is itself present at hand. They are in each case possible ways for it to be, and no more than that. All the being as it is, Zorsein, which this entity possesses, is primarily being. So when we designate this entity with the term Dasein, we're expressing not its what, as if it were a table, house, or tree, but its being. 2. That being which is an issue for this entity in its very being is in each case mine. Thus Dasein is never to be taken ontologically as an instance or special case of some genus of entities as things that are present at hand. To entities such as these, their being is a matter of indifference. Or more precisely, they are such that their being can be neither a matter of indifference to them nor the opposite. Because Dasein has, in each case, meinenness, jemeinigkeit, one must always use a personal pronoun when one addresses it. I am, you are. Furthermore, in each case, Dasein is mine to be in one way or another. Dasein has always made some sort of decision as to the way in which it is in each case mine, je minus. That entity, which in its being has this very being as an issue, comports itself towards its being as its ownmost possibility. In each case, Dasein is its possibility, and it has this possibility, but not just as a property, eigenschaftlich, as something present at hand would. And because Dasein is in each case essentially its own possibility, it can, in its very being, choose itself and win itself. It can also lose itself and never win itself, or only seem to do so. But only insofar as it is essentially something which can be authentic, that is something of its own, can it have lost itself and not yet won itself. As modes of being, authenticity and inauthenticity, these expressions have been chosen terminologically in a strict sense, are both grounded in the fact that any Dasein whatsoever is characterized by mineness. But the inauthenticity of Dasein does not signify any less being or any lower degree of being. Rather is it the case that even in its fullest concretion, Dasein can be characterized by inauthenticity, when busy, when excited, when interested, when ready for enjoyment. The two characteristics of Dasein which we have sketched, the priority of existentia over essentia, and the fact that Dasein is in each case mein, die Jemeinigkeit, have already indicated that in the analytic of this entity we're facing a peculiar phenomenal domain. Dasein does not have the kind of being which belongs to something merely present at hand within the world, nor does it ever have it. So neither is it to be presented thematically as something we come across in the same way as we come across what is present at hand. The right way of presenting it is so far from self-evident that to determine what form it shall take is itself an essential part of the ontological analytic of this entity. Only by presenting this entity in the right way can we have any understanding of its being. No matter how provisional our analysis may be, it always requires the assurance that we have started correctly. In determining itself as an entity, Dasein always does so in the light of a possibility which it is itself and which, in its very being, it somehow understands. This is the formal meaning of Dasein's existential constitution. But this tells us that if we are to interpret this entity ontologically, the problematic of its being must be developed from the existentiality of its existence. This cannot mean, however, that Dasein is to be construed in terms of some concrete possible idea of existence. At the outset of our analysis, it is particularly important that Dasein should not be interpreted with the differentiated character, Differenz, of some definite way of existing, but that it should be uncovered, aufgedeckt, in the undifferentiated character which it has proximately and for the most part. This undifferentiated character of Dasein's everydayness is not nothing, but a positive, phenomenal characteristic of this entity. Out of this kind of being and back into it again is all existing, such as it is. We call this everyday undifferentiated character of Dasein averageness, Durchschnittlichkeit. And because this average everydayness makes up what is ontically proximal for this entity, it has again and again been passed over in explicating Dasein. That which is ontically closest and well known is ontologically the farthest and not known at all, and its ontological signification is constantly overlooked. When Augustine asks, "What is closer to me than myself?" and must answer, "Without doubt I labour here and labour within myself. I have become a land of trouble to myself and excess sweat." This applies not only to the ontical and pre-ontological opaqueness of Dasein, but even more to the ontological task which lies ahead. For not only must this entity not be missed in that kind of being in which it is phenomenally closest, but it must be made accessible by a positive characterization. Dasein's average everydayness, however, is not to be taken as a mere aspect. Here too, and even in the mode of inauthenticity, the structure of existentiality lies a priori, and here too Dasein's being is an issue for it in a definite way, and Dasein comports itself towards it in the mode of average everydayness, even if this is only the mode of fleeing in the face of it and forgetfulness thereof. But the explication of Dasein in its average everydayness does not give us just average structures in the sense of a hazy indefiniteness. Anything which taken ontically is, in an average way, can be very well grasped ontologically in pregnant structures which may be structurally indistinguishable from certain ontological characteristics, Bestimmungen, of an authentic being of Dasein. All explicata to which the analytic of Dasein gives rise are obtained by considering Dasein's existence structure. Because Dasein's characters of being are defined in terms of existentiality, we call them existentialia. These are to be sharply distinguished from what we call categories, characteristics of being for entities whose character is not that of Dasein. Here we are taking the expression category in its primary ontological signification, and abiding by it. In the ontology of the ancients, the entities we encounter within the world are taken as the basic examples for the interpretation of being. Noein, perceive, or the logos, as the case may be, is accepted as a way of access to them. Entities are encountered therein. But the being of these entities must be something which can be grasped in a distinctive kind of legein, letting something be seen, so that this being becomes intelligible in advance as that which it is, and as that which it is already in every entity. In any discussion of entities, we have previously addressed ourselves to being. This addressing is kategoristai, assigning categories. This signifies, in the first instance, making a public accusation, taking someone to task for something in the presence of everyone. When used ontologically, this term means taking an entity to task, as it were, for whatever it is as an entity, that is to say, letting everyone see it in its being. The categoriae, categories, are what is cited and what is visible in such a seeing. They include the various ways in which the nature of those entities which can be addressed and discussed in a logos may be determined a priori. Existentialia and categories are the two basic possibilities for characters of being. The entities which correspond to them require different kinds of primary interrogation respectively. Any entity is either a who, existence, or a what, presence at hand in the broadest sense. The connection between these two modes of the characters of being cannot be handled until the horizon for the question of being has been clarified. In our introduction, we've already intimated that in the existential analytic of Dasein, we also make headway with a task which is hardly less pressing than that of the question of being itself, the task of laying bare that a priori basis, which must be visible before the question of what man is, can be discussed philosophically. The existential analytic of Dasein comes before any psychology or anthropology, and certainly before any biology. While these two are ways in which Dasein can be investigated, we can define the theme of our analytic with greater precision if we distinguish it from these, and at the same time the necessity of that analytic can thus be proved more incisively. Section 10. How the analytic of Dasein is to be distinguished from anthropology, psychology, and biology. After a theme for investigation has been initially outlined in positive terms, it is always important to show what is to be ruled out, although it can easily become fruitless to discuss what is not going to happen. We must show that those investigations and formulations of the question which have been aimed at Dasein heretofore have missed the real philosophical problem, notwithstanding their objective fertility, and that as long as they persist in missing it, they have no right to claim that they can accomplish that for which they are basically striving. In distinguishing the existential analytic from anthropology, psychology, and biology, we shall confine ourselves to what is in principle the ontological question. Our distinctions will necessarily be inadequate from the standpoint of scientific theory, simply because the scientific structure of the above-mentioned disciplines, not indeed the scientific attitude of those who work to advance them, is today thoroughly questionable and needs to be attacked in new ways which must have their source in ontological problematics. Historiologically, the aim of the existential analytic can be made plainer by considering Descartes, who is credited with providing the point of departure for modern philosophical inquiry by his discovery of the cogito sum. He investigates the cogitare of the ego, at least within certain limits. On the other hand, he leaves the sum completely undiscussed, even though it is regarded as no less primordial than the cogito. Our analytic raises the ontological question of the being of the sum. Not until the nature of this being has been determined can we grasp the kind of being which belongs to cogitationis. At the same time, it is of course misleading to exemplify the aim of our analytic historiologically in this way. One of our first tasks will be to prove that if we posit an I, or subject, as that which is proximally given, we shall completely miss the phenomenal content, Bestand, of Dasein. Ontologically, every idea of a subject, unless refined by a previous ontological determination of its basic character, still posits the subjectum, hypokeimenon, what is underlying, along with it. No matter how vigorous one's ontical protestations against the soul substance or the reification of consciousness, the thinghood itself, which such reification implies, must have its ontological origin demonstrated if we are to be in a position to ask what we are to understand positively when we think of the unreified being of the subject, the soul, the consciousness, the spirit, the person. All these terms refer to definite phenomenal domains which can be given form, ausformbare. But they are never used without a notable failure to see the need for inquiring about the being of the entities thus designated. So we are not being terminologically arbitrary when we avoid these terms, or such expressions as life and man, in designating those entities which we are ourselves. On the other hand, if we understand it rightly, in any serious and scientifically minded philosophy of life, this expression says about as much as the botany of plants, there lies an unexpressed tendency towards an understanding of Dasein's being. What is conspicuous in such a philosophy, and here it is defective in principle, is that here life itself as a kind of being does not become ontologically a problem. The researches of Wilhelm Dilthey were stimulated by the perennial question of life. Starting from life itself as a whole, he tried to understand its experiences in their structural and developmental interconnections. His Geisteswissenschaftliche Psychologie is one which no longer seeks to be oriented towards psychical elements and atoms or to piece the life of the soul together, but aims rather at Gestalten and life as a whole. Its philosophical relevance, however, is not to be sought here, but rather in the fact that in all this he was, above all, on his way towards the question of life. To be sure, we can also see here very plainly how limited were both his problematic and the set of concepts with which it had to be put into words. These limitations, however, are found not only in Dilthey and Bergson, but in all the personalitic movements to which they have given direction, and in every tendency towards a philosophical anthropology. The phenomenological interpretation of personality is in principle more radical and more transparent. But the question of the being of Dasein has a dimension which this too fails to enter. No matter how much Husserl and Scheler may differ in their respective inquiries, in their methods of conducting them and in their orientations towards the world as a whole, they are fully in agreement on the negative side of their interpretations of personality. The question of personal being itself is one which they no longer raise. We have chosen Scheler's interpretation as an example, not only because it is accessible in print, but because he emphasizes personal being explicitly as such, and tries to determine its character by defining the specific being of acts as contrasted with anything psychical. For Scheler, the person is never to be thought of as a thing or a substance. The person is rather the unity of living through, Erlebens, which is immediately experienced in and with our experiences. Not a thing merely thought of behind and outside what is immediately experienced. The person is no thing-like and substantial being. Nor can the being of a person be entirely absorbed in being a subject of rational acts which follow certain laws. The person is not a thing, not a substance, not an object. Here, Scheler is emphasizing what Husserl suggests when he insists that the unity of the person must have a constitution essentially different from that required for the unity of things of nature. What Scheler says of the person he applies to acts as well. But an act is never also an object. For it is essential to the being of acts that they are experienced only in their performance itself and given in reflection. Acts are something non-psychical. Essentially, the person exists only in the performance of intentional acts and is therefore essentially not an object. Any psychical objectification of acts, and hence any way of taking them as something psychical, is tantamount to depersonalization. A person is in any case given as a performer of intentional acts which are bound together by the unity of a meaning. Thus, psychical being has nothing to do with personal being. Acts get performed. The person is a performer of acts. What, however, is the ontological meaning of performance? How is the kind of being which belongs to a person to be ascertained ontologically in a positive way? But the critical question cannot stop here. It must face the being of the whole man, who is customarily taken as a unity of body, soul, and spirit. In their turn, body, soul, and spirit may designate phenomenal domains, which can be detached as themes for definite investigations. Within certain limits, their ontological indefiniteness may not be important. When, however, we come to the question of man's being, this is not something we can simply compute by adding together those kinds of being which body, soul, and spirit respectively possess, kinds of being whose nature has not as yet been determined. And even if we should attempt such an ontological procedure, some idea of the being of the whole must be presupposed. But what stands in the way of the basic question of Dasein's being, or leads it off the track, is an orientation thoroughly coloured by the anthropology of Christianity and the ancient world, whose inadequate ontological foundations have been overlooked both by the philosophy of life and by personalism. There are two important elements in this traditional anthropology. 1. Man is here defined as a zoon logon echon, and this is interpreted to mean animal rationale, something living which has reason. But the kind of being which belongs to a zoon, something living, is understood in the sense of occurring and being present at hand. The logos, here reason, is some superior endowment. The kind of being which belongs to it, however, remains quite as obscure as that of the entire entity thus compounded. The second clue for determining the nature of man's being and essence is a theological one. God said, "Let us make man in our own image and likeness," Genesis. With this as its point of departure, the anthropology of Christian theology, taking with it the ancient definition, arrives at an interpretation of that entity which we call man. But just as the being of God gets interpreted ontologically by means of the ancient ontology, so does the being of the ens finitum, and to an even greater extent. In modern times, the Christian definition has been deprived of its theological character. But the idea of transcendence, that man is something that reaches beyond himself, is rooted in Christian dogmatics, which can hardly be said to have made an ontological problem of man's being. The idea of transcendence, according to which man is more than a mere something endowed with intelligence, has worked itself out with different variations. The following quotations will illustrate how these have originated. Man's first condition was excellent because of these outstanding endowments, that reason, intelligence, prudence, judgment should suffice not only the government of this earthly life, but that by them he might ascend beyond, even unto God and to eternal felicity. Calvin. The two sources which are relevant for the traditional anthropology, the Greek definition and the clue which theology has provided, indicate that over and above the attempt to determine the essence of man as an entity, the question of his being has remained forgotten, and that this being is rather conceived as something obvious or self-evident, in the sense of the being present at hand of other created things. These two clues become intertwined in the anthropology of modern times, where the res cogitans, consciousness and the interconnectedness of experience, serve as the point of departure for methodical study. But since even the cogitationis are either left ontologically undetermined, or get tacitly assumed as something self-evidently given, whose being is not to be questioned, the decisive ontological foundations of anthropological problematics remain undetermined. This is no less true of psychology, whose anthropological tendencies are today unmistakable. Nor can we compensate for the absence of ontological foundations by taking anthropology and psychology and building them into the framework of a general biology, in the order which any possible comprehension and interpretation must follow. Biology, as a science of life, is founded upon the ontology of Dasein, even if not entirely. Life, in its own right, is a kind of being, but essentially it is accessible only in Dasein. The ontology of life is accomplished by way of a privative interpretation. It determines what must be the case if there can be anything like mere aliveness, nur noch Leben. Life is not a mere being present at hand, nor is it Dasein. In turn, Dasein is never to be defined ontologically by regarding it as life, in an ontologically indefinite manner, plus something else. In suggesting that anthropology, psychology, and biology all fail to give an unequivocal and ontologically adequate answer to the question about the kind of being which belongs to those entities which we ourselves are, we are not passing judgment on the positive work of these disciplines. We must always bear in mind, however, that these ontological foundations can never be disclosed by subsequent hypotheses derived from empirical material, but that they are always there already, even when that empirical material simply gets collected. If positive research fails to see these foundations and holds them to be self-evident, this by no means proves that they are not basic or that they are not problematic in a more radical sense than any thesis of positive science can ever be. Section 11. The Existential Analytic and the Interpretation of Primitive Dasein. The Difficulties of Achieving a Natural Conception of the World. The interpretation of Dasein in its everydayness, however, is not identical with the describing of some primitive stage of Dasein with which we can become acquainted empirically through the medium of anthropology. Everydayness does not coincide with primitiveness, but is rather a mode of Dasein's being, even when that Dasein is active in a highly developed and differentiated culture, and precisely then. Moreover, even primitive Dasein has possibilities of a being which is not of the everyday kind, and it has a specific everydayness of its own. To orient the analysis of Dasein towards the life of primitive peoples can have positive significance, Bedeutung, as a method because primitive phenomena are often less concealed and less complicated by extensive self-interpretation on the part of the Dasein in question. Primitive Dasein often speaks to us more directly in terms of a primordial absorption in phenomena, taken in a pre-phenomenological sense. A way of conceiving things which seems perhaps rather clumsy and crude from our standpoint can be positively helpful in bringing out the ontological structures of phenomena in a genuine way. But heretofore, our information about primitives has been provided by ethnology. And ethnology operates with definite preliminary conceptions and interpretations of human Dasein in general, even in first receiving its material and in sifting it and working it up. Whether the everyday psychology or even the scientific psychology and sociology which the ethnologist brings with him can provide any scientific assurance that we can have proper access to the phenomena we are studying and can interpret them and transmit them in the right way has not yet been established. Here too we are confronted with the same state of affairs as in the other disciplines we have discussed. Ethnology itself already presupposes as its clue an inadequate analytic of Dasein. But since the positive sciences neither can nor should wait for the ontological labours of philosophy to be done, the further course of research will not take the form of an advance, but will be accomplished by recapitulating what has already been ontically discovered, and by purifying it in a way which is ontologically more transparent. No matter how easy it may be to show how ontological problematics differ formally from ontical research, there are still difficulties in carrying out an existential analytic, especially in making a start. This task includes a desideratum which philosophy has long found disturbing, but has continually refused to achieve, to work out the idea of a natural conception of the world. The rich store of information now available as to the most exotic and manifold cultures and forms of Dasein seems favourable to our setting about this task in a fruitful way. But this is merely a semblance. At bottom, this plethora of information can seduce us into failing to recognise the real problem. We shall not get a genuine knowledge of essences simply by the syncretistic activity of universal comparison and classification. Subjecting the manifold to tabulation does not ensure any actual understanding of what lies there before us as thus set in order. If an ordering principle is genuine, it has its own content as a thing, Sachgehalt, which is never to be found by means of such ordering, but is already presupposed in it. So if one is to put various pictures of the world in order, one must have an explicit idea of the world as such. And if the world itself is something constitutive for Dasein, one must have an insight into Dasein's basic structures in order to treat the world phenomenon conceptually. In this chapter, we have characterized some things positively and taken a negative stand with regard to others. In both cases, our goal has been to promote a correct understanding of the tendency which underlies the following interpretation and the kind of questions which it poses. Ontology can contribute only indirectly towards advancing the positive disciplines as we find them today. It has a goal of its own, even if, beyond the acquiring of information about entities, the question of being is the spur for all scientific seeking. Chapter 2. Being in the world in general as the basic state of Dasein. Section 12. A preliminary sketch of being in the world in terms of an orientation towards being in as such. In our preparatory discussions, we have brought out some characteristics of being which will provide us with a steady light for our further investigation, but which will at the same time become structurally concrete as that investigation continues. Dasein is an entity which, in its very being, comports itself understandingly towards that being. In saying this, we are calling attention to the formal concept of existence. Dasein exists. Furthermore, Dasein is an entity which in each case I, myself, am. Mindness belongs to any existent Dasein and belongs to it as the condition which makes authenticity and inauthenticity possible. In each case, Dasein exists in one or the other of these two modes, or else it is modally undifferentiated. But these are both ways in which Dasein's being takes on a definite character, and they must be seen and understood a priori as grounded upon that state of being which we have called being in the world. An interpretation of this constitutive state is needed if we are to set up our analytic of Dasein correctly. The compound expression being in the world indicates in the very way we have coined it that it stands for a unitary phenomenon. This primary datum must be seen as a whole. But while being in the world cannot be broken up into contents which may be pieced together, this does not prevent it from having several constitutive items in its structure. Indeed, the phenomenal datum which our expression indicates is one which may, in fact, be looked at in three ways. If we study it, keeping the whole phenomenon firmly in mind beforehand, the following items may be brought out for emphasis. First, the in the world. With regard to this, there arises the task of inquiring into the ontological structure of the world and defining the idea of worldhood as such. Second, that entity which in every case has being in the world as the way in which it is. Here we are seeking that which one inquires into when one asks the question, who? By a phenomenological demonstration, we shall determine who is in the mode of Dasein's average everydayness. Third, being in sein, as such. We must set forth the ontological constitution of inhood, inheit itself. Emphasis upon any one of these constitutive items signifies that the others are emphasized along with it. This means that in any such case the whole phenomenon gets seen. Of course, being in the world is a state of Dasein which is necessary a priori, but it is far from sufficient for completely determining Dasein's being. Before making these three phenomena the themes for special analyses, we shall attempt, by way of orientation, to characterize the third of these factors. What is meant by being in? Our proximal reaction is to round out this expression to being in the world. And we're inclined to understand this being in as being in something, sein in. This latter term designates the kind of being which an entity has when it is in another one, as the water is in the glass, or the garment is in the cupboard. By this in, we mean the relationship of being which two entities extended in space have to each other with regard to their location in that space. Both water and glass, garment and cupboard, are in space and at a location, and both in the same way. This relationship of being can be expanded. For instance, the bench is in the lecture room. The lecture room is in the university. The university is in the city, and so on. until we can say that the bench is in world space. All entities whose being in one another can thus be described have the same kind of being, that of being present at hand, as things occurring within the world. Being present at hand in something which is likewise present at hand, and being present at hand along with, mit vorhanden sein, in the sense of a definite location relationship with something else, which has the same kind of being, are ontological characteristics which we call categorial. They are of such a sort as to belong to entities whose kind of being is not of the character of Dasein. Being in, on the other hand, is a state of Dasein's being. It is an existentiale. So one cannot think of it as the being present at hand of some corporeal thing, such as a human body, in an entity which is present at hand. Nor does the term being in mean a spatial in one another-ness of things present at hand, any more than the word in primordially signifies a spatial relationship of this kind. In is derived from innan, to reside, habitare, to dwell, sich aufhalten. An signifies I am accustomed, I am familiar with, I look after something. It has the signification of colo, I till the ground, in the senses of habito, I dwell, and diligo, I choose. The entity to which being in this signification belongs is one which we have characterized as that entity which in each case I myself am, bin. The expression bin is connected with bei, and so ich bin, I am, means in its turn I reside or dwell alongside the world, as that which is familiar to me in such and such a way. Being, sein, as the infinitive of ich bin, that is to say when it is understood as an existentiale, signifies to reside alongside, to be familiar with. Being in is thus the formal existential expression for the being of Dasein, which has being in the world as its essential state. Being alongside the world in the sense of being absorbed in the world, a sense which calls for still closer interpretation, is an existentiale, something existential, founded upon being in. In these analyses, the issue is one of seeing a primordial structure of Dasein's being, a structure in accordance with whose phenomenal content the concepts of being must be articulated. Because of this, and because this structure is in principle, one which cannot be grasped by the traditional ontological categories, this being alongside must be examined still more closely. We shall again choose the method of contrasting it with a relationship of being which is essentially different ontologically, namely categorial, but which we express by the same linguistic means. Fundamental ontological distinctions are easily obliterated, and if they are to be envisaged phenomenally in this way, this must be done explicitly, even at the risk of discussing the obvious. The status of the ontological analytic shows, however, that we have been far from interpreting these obvious matters with an adequate grasp, still less with regard for the meaning of their being. And we are even farther from possessing a stable coinage for the appropriate structural concepts. As an existentiale, something existential, being alongside the world, never means anything like the being present at hand together of things that occur. There is no such thing as the side-by-sideness of an entity called Dasein with another entity called world. Of course, when the two things are present at hand together alongside one another, we are accustomed to express this occasionally by something like the table stands by the door, or the chair touches, berührt, the wall. Taken strictly, touching is never what we are talking about in such cases, not because accurate re-examination will always eventually establish that there is a space between the chair and the wall, but because in principle the chair can never touch the wall, even if the space between them should be equal to zero. If the chair could touch the wall, this would presuppose that the wall is the sort of thing for which a chair would be encounterable. An entity present at hand within the world can be touched by another entity only if by its very nature the latter entity has being in as its own kind of being. Only if, with its being there, Dasein, something like the world is already revealed to it. So that from out of that world another entity can manifest itself in touching, and thus become accessible in its being present at hand. When two entities are present at hand within the world, and furthermore are worldless in themselves, they can never touch each other. Nor can either of them be alongside the other. The clause, furthermore, are worldless, must not be left out. For even entities which are not worldless, Dasein itself, for example, are present at hand in the world, or more exactly can, with some right and within certain limits, be taken as merely present at hand. To do this, one must completely disregard or just not see the existential state of being in. But the fact that Dasein can be taken as something which is present at hand and just present at hand is not to be confused with a certain way of presence at hand which is Dasein's own. This latter kind of presence at hand becomes accessible not by disregarding Dasein's specific structures, but only by understanding them in advance. Dasein understands its ownmost being in the sense of a certain factual being present at hand. And yet the factuality of the fact, Tatsache, of one's own Dasein is, at bottom, quite different ontologically from the factual occurrence of some kind of mineral, for example. Whenever Dasein is, it is as a fact, and the factuality of such a fact is what we shall call Dasein's facticity. This is a definite way of being, Sein's Bestimmtheit, and it has a complicated structure which cannot even be grasped as a problem until Dasein's basic existential states have been worked out. The concept of facticity implies that an entity within the world has being in the world in such a way that it can understand itself as bound up in its destiny with the being of those entities which it encounters within its own world. In the first instance, it is enough to see the ontological difference between being in as an existentiale and the category of the insideness which things present at hand can have with regard to one another. By thus delimiting being in, we are not denying every kind of spatiality to Dasein. On the contrary, Dasein itself has a being in space of its own. But this in turn is possible only on the basis of being in the world in general. Hence, being in is not to be explained ontologically by some ontical characterization, as if one were to say, for instance, that being in a world is a spiritual property and that man's spatiality is a result of his bodily nature, which at the same time always gets founded upon corporeality. Here again we are faced with the being present at hand together of some such spiritual thing along with a corporeal thing, while the being of the entity, thus compounded, remains more obscure than ever. Not until we understand being in the world as an essential structure of Dasein can we have any insight into Dasein's existential spatiality. Such an insight will keep us from failing to see this structure or from previously cancelling it out, a procedure motivated not ontologically but rather metaphysically by the naive supposition that man is, in the first instance, a spiritual thing which subsequently gets misplaced into a space. Dasein's facticity is such that its being in the world has always dispersed, zerstreut itself, or even split itself up into definite ways of being in. The multiplicity of these is indicated by the following examples. Having to do with something, producing something, attending to something and looking after it, making use of something, giving something up and letting it go, undertaking, accomplishing, evincing, interrogating, considering, discussing, determining. All these ways of being in have concern as their kind of being, a kind of being which we have yet to characterize in detail. Leaving undone, neglecting, renouncing, taking a rest, these too are ways of concern. But these are all deficient modes in which the possibilities of concern are kept to a bare minimum. The term concern has, in the first instance, its colloquial, vorwissenschaftliche signification, and can mean to carry out something, to get it done, erledigen, to straighten it out. It can also mean to provide oneself with something. We use the expression with still another characteristic turn of phrase when we say, I'm concerned for the success of the undertaking. Here, concern means something like apprehensiveness. In contrast to these colloquial ontical significations, the expression concern will be used in this investigation as an ontological term for an existentiale, and will designate the being of a possible way of being in the world. This term has been chosen not because Dasein happens to be proximally and to a large extent practical and economic, but because the being of Dasein itself is to be made visible as care. This expression too is to be taken as an ontological, structural concept. It has nothing to do with tribulation, melancholy, or the cares of life, though ontically one can come across these in every Dasein. These, like their opposites, gaiety and freedom from care, are ontically possible only because Dasein, when understood ontologically, is care, because being in the world belongs essentially to Dasein. Its being towards the world, Sein zur Welt, is essentially concern. From what we have been saying, it follows that being in is not a property, which Dasein sometimes has and sometimes does not have, and without which it could be just as well as it could without it. It is not the case that man is and then has, by way of an extra, a relationship of being towards the world, a world with which he provides himself occasionally. Dasein is never proximally an entity which is, so to speak, free from being in, but which sometimes has the inclination to take up a relationship towards the world. Taking up relationships towards the world is possible only because Dasein, as being in the world, is as it is. This state of being does not arise just because some other entity is present at hand outside of Dasein and meets up with it. Such an entity can meet up with Dasein only insofar as it can, of its own accord, show itself within a world. Nowadays there is much talk about man's having an environment, Umwelt. But this says nothing ontologically as long as this having is left indefinite. In its very possibility, this having is founded upon the existential state of being in. Because Dasein is essentially an entity with being in, it can explicitly discover those entities which it encounters environmentally. It can know them. It can avail itself of them. It can have the world. To talk about having an environment is ontically trivial, but ontologically it presents a problem. To solve it requires nothing else than defining the being of Dasein, and doing so in a way which is ontologically adequate. Although this state of being is one of which use has been made in biology, especially since K. von Baer, one must not conclude that its philosophical use implies biologism. For the environment is a structure which even biology, as a positive science, can never find and can never define, but must presuppose and constantly employ. Yet even as an a priori condition for the objects which biology takes for its theme, this structure itself can be explained philosophically only if it has been conceived beforehand as a structure of Dasein. Only in terms of an orientation towards the ontological structure thus conceived can life as a state of being be defined a priori, and this must be done in a privative manner. Ontically as well as ontologically, the priority belongs to being in the world as concern. In the analytic of Dasein, this structure undergoes a basic interpretation. But have we not confined ourselves to negative assertions in all our attempts to determine the nature of this state of being? Though this being in is supposedly so fundamental, we always keep hearing about what it is not. Yes, indeed. But there is nothing accidental about our characterizing it predominantly in so negative a manner. In doing so, we have rather made known what is peculiar to this phenomenon. And our characterization is therefore positive in a genuine sense, a sense appropriate to the phenomenon itself. When being in the world is exhibited phenomenologically, disguises and concealments are rejected because this phenomenon itself always gets seen in a certain way in every Dasein. And it thus gets seen because it makes up a basic state of Dasein, and in every case is already disclosed for Dasein's understanding of being, and disclosed along with that being itself. But for the most part, this phenomenon has been explained in a way which is basically wrong, or interpreted in an ontologically inadequate manner. On the other hand, this seeing in a certain way, and yet for the most part wrongly explaining, is itself based upon nothing else than this very state of Dasein's being, which is such that Dasein itself, and this means also its being in the world, gets its ontological understanding of itself in the first instance from those entities which it itself is not, but which it encounters within its world and from the being which they possess. Both in Dasein and for it, this state of being is always in some way familiar, bekannt. Now, if it is also to become known, erkannt, the knowing which such a task explicitly implies takes itself as a knowing of the world, felt erkennen, as the chief exemplification of the soul's relationship to the world. Knowing the world, nor ein, or rather addressing oneself to the world and discussing it, logos, thus functions as the primary mode of being in the world, even though being in the world does not as such get conceived. But because this structure of being remains ontologically inaccessible, yet is experienced ontically as a relationship between one entity, the world, and another, the soul, and because one proximally understands being by taking entities as entities within the world for one's ontological foothold, one tries to conceive the relationship between world and soul as grounded in these two entities themselves and in the meaning of their being, namely to conceive it as being present at hand. And even though being in the world is something of which one has pre-phenomenological experience and acquaintance, erfahren und gekannt, it becomes invisible if one interprets it in a way which is ontologically inappropriate. This state of Dasein's being is now one with which one is just barely acquainted, and indeed as something obvious, with the stamp of an inappropriate interpretation. So in this way it becomes the evident point of departure for problems of epistemology, or the metaphysics of knowledge. For what is more obvious than that a subject is related to an object and vice versa? This subject-object relationship must be presupposed. But while this presupposition is unimpeachable in its facticity, this makes it indeed a baleful one if its ontological necessity and especially its ontological meaning are to be left in the dark. Thus, the phenomenon of being in has, for the most part, been represented exclusively by a single exemplar, knowing the world. This has not only been the case in epistemology, for even practical behaviour has been understood as behaviour which is non-theoretical and a-theoretical. Because knowing has been given this priority, our understanding of its own most kind of being gets led astray, and accordingly being in the world must be exhibited even more precisely with regard to knowing the world, and must itself be made visible as an existential modality of being in. Section 13. A founded mode in which being in is exemplified. Knowing the world. If being in the world is a basic state of Dasein, and one in which Dasein operates not only in general, but preeminently in the mode of everydayness, then it must also be something which has always been experienced ontically. It would be unintelligible for being in the world to remain totally veiled from view, especially since Dasein has at its disposal an understanding of its own being, no matter how indefinitely this understanding may function. But no sooner was the phenomenon of knowing the world grasped than it got interpreted in a superficial, formal manner. The evidence for this is the procedure, still customary today, of setting up knowing as a relation between subject and object, a procedure in which there lurks as much truth as vacuity. But subject and object do not coincide with Dasein and the world. Even if it were feasible to give an ontological definition of being in, primarily in terms of a being in the world which knows, it would still be our first task to show that knowing has the phenomenal character of a being which is in and towards the world. If one reflects upon this relationship of being, an entity called nature is given proximally as that which becomes known. Knowing as such is not to be met in this entity. If knowing is, at all, it belongs solely to those entities which know. But even in those entities, human things, knowing is not present at hand. In any case, it is not externally ascertainable as, let us say, bodily properties are. Now, inasmuch as knowing belongs to these entities and is not some external characteristic, it must be inside. Now, the more unequivocally one maintains that knowing is proximally and really inside, and indeed has by no means the same kind of being as entities which are both physical and psychical, the less one presupposes, when one believes that one is making headway in the question of the essence of knowledge and in the clarification of the relationship between subject and object. For only then can the problem arise of how this knowing subject comes out of its inner sphere into one which is other and external, of how knowing can have any object at all, and of how one must think of the object itself so that, eventually, the subject knows it without needing to venture a leap into another sphere. But in any of the numerous varieties which this approach may take, the question of the kind of being which belongs to this knowing subject is left entirely unasked. Though whenever its knowing gets handled, its way of being is already included tacitly in one's theme. Of course, we are sometimes assured that we are certainly not to think of the subject's inside, innen, and its inner sphere as a sort of box or cabinet. But when one asks for the positive signification of this inside of immanence, in which knowing is proximally enclosed, or when one inquires how this being inside, innenseins, which knowing possesses, has its own character of being grounded in the kind of being which belongs to the subject, then silence reigns. And no matter how this inner sphere may get interpreted, if one does no more than ask how knowing makes its way out of it and achieves transcendence, it becomes evident that the knowing which presents such enigmas will remain problematical unless one has previously clarified how it is and what it is. With this kind of approach, one remains blind to what is already tacitly implied, even when one takes the phenomenon of knowing as one's theme in the most provisional manner, namely that knowing is a mode of being of Dasein, as being in the world, and is founded ontically upon this state of being. But if, as we suggest, we thus find phenomenally that knowing is a kind of being which belongs to being in the world, one might object that with such an interpretation of knowing, the problem of knowledge is nullified. For what is left to be asked if one presupposes that knowing is already alongside its world, when it is not supposed to reach that world except in the transcending of the subject? In this question, the constructivist standpoint, which has not been phenomenally demonstrated, again comes to the fore. But quite apart from this, what higher court is to decide whether and in what sense there is to be any problem of knowledge other than that of the phenomenon of knowing as such and the kind of being which belongs to the knower. If we now ask what shows itself in the phenomenal findings about knowing, we must keep in mind that knowing is grounded beforehand in a being already alongside the world, which is essentially constitutive for Dasein's being. Proximally, this being already alongside is not just a fixed staring at something that is purely present at hand. Being in the world, as concern, is fascinated by the world with which it is concerned. If knowing is to be possible as a way of determining the nature of the present at hand by observing it, then there must first be a deficiency in our having to do with the world concernfully. When concern holds back, sich enthalten, from any kind of producing, manipulating, and the like, it puts itself into what is now the sole remaining mode of being in, the mode of just tarrying alongside, das nur noch verweilen bei. This kind of being towards the world is one which lets us encounter entities within the world purely in the way they look, eidos, shape or form, just that. On the basis of this kind of being and as a mode of it, looking explicitly at what we encounter is possible. Looking at something in this way is sometimes a definite way of taking up a direction towards something, of setting our sights towards what is present at hand. It takes over a viewpoint in advance from the entity which it encounters. Such looking at enters the mode of dwelling autonomously alongside entities within the world. In this kind of dwelling, as a holding oneself back from any manipulation or utilization, the perception of the present at hand is consummated. Perception is consummated when one addresses oneself to something as something and discusses it as such. This amounts to interpretation in the broadest sense, and on the basis of such interpretation, perception becomes an act of making determinate. What is thus perceived and made determinate can be expressed in propositions, and can be retained and preserved as what has thus been asserted. This perceptive retention of an assertion about something is itself a way of being in the world. It is not to be interpreted as a procedure by which a subject provides itself with representations, Vorstellungen, of something which remain stored up, inside, as having been thus appropriated, and with regard to which the question of how they agree with actuality can occasionally arise. When Dasein directs itself towards something and grasps it, it does not somehow first get out of an inner sphere in which it has been proximally encapsulated, but its primary kind of being is such that it is always outside, alongside entities, which it encounters and which belong to a world already discovered. Nor is any inner sphere abandoned when Dasein dwells alongside the entity to be known and determines its character. But even in this being outside, alongside the object, Dasein is still inside if we understand this in the correct sense. That is to say, it is itself inside as a being in the world which knows. And furthermore, the perceiving of what is known is not a process of returning with one's booty to the cabinet of consciousness after one has gone out and grasped it. Even in perceiving, retaining and preserving, the Dasein which knows remains outside, and it does so as Dasein. If I merely know, wissen, about some way in which the being of entities is interconnected, if I only represent them, if I do no more than think about them, I am no less alongside the entities outside in the world than when I originally grasp them. Even the forgetting of something in which every relationship of being towards what one formerly knew has seemingly been obliterated must be conceived as a modification of the primordial being in, and this holds for every delusion and for every error. We have now pointed out how those modes of being in the world, which are constitutive for knowing the world, are interconnected in their foundations. This makes it plain that in knowing, Dasein achieves a new status of being, Seinsstand, towards a world which has already been discovered in Dasein itself. This new possibility of being can develop itself autonomously. It can become a task to be accomplished. And as scientific knowledge, it can take over the guidance for being in the world. But a commercium of the subject with the world does not get created for the first time by knowing. Nor does it arise from some way in which the world acts upon a subject. Knowing is a mode of Dasein founded upon being in the world. Thus, being in the world, as a basic state, must be interpreted beforehand. Chapter 3. The Worldhood of the World. Section 14. The idea of the worldhood of the world in general. Being in the world shall first be made visible with regard to that item of its structure which is the world itself. To accomplish this task seems easy and so trivial as to make one keep taking for granted that it may be dispensed with. What can be meant by describing the world as a phenomenon? It means to let us see what shows itself in entities within the world. Here the first step is to enumerate the things that are in the world. Houses, trees, people, mountains, stars. We can depict the way such entities look, and we can give an account of occurrences in them and with them. This, however, is obviously a pre-phenomenological business, which cannot be at all relevant phenomenologically. Such a description is always confined to entities. It is ontical. But what we are seeking is being, and we have formally defined phenomenon in the phenomenological sense as that which shows itself as being and as a structure of being. Thus, to give a phenomenological description of the world will mean to exhibit the being of those entities which are present at hand within the world, and to fix it in concepts which are categorial. Now, the entities within the world are things, things of nature, and things invested with value, wertbehaftete Dinge. Their thinghood becomes a problem, and to the extent that the thinghood of things, invested with value, is based upon the thinghood of nature, our primary theme is the being of things of nature, nature as such. That characteristic of being which belongs to things of nature, substances, and upon which everything is founded, is substantiality. What is its ontological meaning? By asking this, we have given an unequivocal direction to our inquiry. But is this a way of asking ontologically about the world? The problematic which we have thus marked out is one which is undoubtedly ontological. But even if this ontology should itself succeed in explicating the being of nature in the very purest manner, in conformity with the basic assertions about this entity, which the mathematical natural sciences provide, it will never reach the phenomenon that is the world. Nature is itself an entity which is encountered within the world, and which can be discovered in various ways and at various stages. Should we then first attach ourselves to those entities with which Dasein proximally and for the most part dwells, things invested with value? Do not these really show us the world in which we live? Perhaps, in fact, they show us something like the world more penetratingly. But these things too are entities within the world. Neither the ontical depiction of entities within the world nor the ontological interpretation of their being is such as to reach the phenomenon of the world. In both of these ways of access to objective being, the world has already been presupposed, and indeed in various ways. Is it possible that ultimately we cannot address ourselves to the world as determining the nature of the entity we have mentioned? Yet we call this entity one which is within the world. Is world perhaps a characteristic of Dasein's being? And in that case, does every Dasein proximally have its world? Does not world thus become something subjective? How then can there be a common world, in which, nevertheless, we are? And if we raise the question of the world, what world do we have in view? Neither the common world nor the subjective world, but the worldhood of the world as such. By what avenue do we meet this phenomenon? Worldhood is an ontological concept and stands for the structure of one of the constitutive items of being in the world. But we know being in the world as a way in which Dasein's character is defined existentially. Thus, worldhood itself is an existentiale. If we inquire ontologically about the world, we by no means abandon the analytic of Dasein as a field for thematic study. Ontologically, world is not a way of characterizing those entities which Dasein essentially is not.